Good evening, everyone. We'll be looking at Galatians 5, verses 13 through 16 tonight. So if you want to go ahead and turn there. And the title of my message is The Two Faces of Love. So I'm going to pray to open us up here. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your steadfast love for us. We pray that you would be glorified through the thoughts and words spoken tonight. Please help me to be faithful to your word and help us to respond with praise to you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, major greeting card makers and florists saw a sharp jump in sales and a glimpse of profit for the first time this year. The New England Confectionery Company added the phrases text me and tweet me to their sweetheart candies. February 14th was the day that most of the English-speaking world celebrated Valentine's Day, or in some cases, Singles Awareness Day. This yearly observance, which began around the year 1400, has developed and evolved into a modern-day celebration of what the world calls love. In my last 10-minute drill from Romans 9, I spoke about love, God's love as shown through his choosing of undeserving sinners for blessing. But this time, I just want to make one thing clear, and that is, the world's definition of love is very different from the Christian's definition of love. Now, I'm not against the observance of Valentine's Day, but there seems to be two faces of love that we see around us. And I would like specifically to show you that the Christian definition of love includes service to one another rather than fulfilling the desires of the flesh, which is in sharp contrast to the world's definition. So I have two headings tonight. One is the fleshly face of love, and the other is the faithful face of love, followed by some applications. So first, let's read the text in Galatians 5, starting with verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So first, let's cover the fleshly face of love. Now, throughout Galatians, and specifically in these verses, Paul's warning against two extremes. On one extreme, you have the slavery to the legalistic approach to fulfilling the law, the law of God, through works. And then on the other hand, you have the exact opposite of that, ignoring the law of God and giving in to the desires of the flesh. Paul focuses on the latter in these verses, so that's what I'm going to focus on tonight. But being freed from the law, or this legalistic approach to fulfilling the law of God, Paul warns in verse 13 that the freedom we have in Christ should not be used as an opportunity for the flesh. The word flesh here is not talking about our physical bodies, but a selfish, self-reliant attitude that we have to satisfy ourselves with anything other than God. Now, that's a pretty broad definition that includes, or it applies to, believers and non-believers alike. Now, in today's culture, most have ignored and rejected or calloused themselves to the Word of God and His law, choosing instead to satisfy their flesh at any expense. And unfortunately, this is where the world gets its definition of love. Romans 1 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. These modern-day slaves are not slaves to God's law, but instead slaves to sin. And they call it love. We call it idolatry. What is even more unfortunate is this skewed idea of love spills over into some Christian circles, especially in younger Christians who might be more influenced by the world. And Paul tells us the eventual consequence of this gratifying the flesh In verse 15, biting, devouring, and consuming one another in the pursuit to meet this insatiable appetite of the flesh. The scene Paul paints is like one of a starving school of piranha in an isolated pool of water. At the smallest sign of food, this school of fish goes into a feeding frenzy. And this just uncontrollable violence that results and misdirected attacks claims the flesh and lives of several in the school. Now, this behavior is bad enough outside of a body of believers, but inside of a body of believers, the result is dismemberment, destruction, and death of the body. So let's consider the faithful face of love, the second point. Paul talks about Christian love when he calls us to serve one another through love, be guided by the golden rule, and therefore fulfill the whole law in verses 13 and 14. Love is called the fruit of the Spirit later on in verse 22, which includes joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This list of selfless servant characteristics is in sharp contrast to what the world calls love, that selfishness. Furthermore, just before his betrayal, suffering, and sacrificial death, Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Now, this is the ultimate definition of love from the supreme suffering servant. There's only one problem. It's impossible for a man to show this kind of love with his own ability. The 18th century Jonathan Edwards said of the natural man's heart, "It is wholly under the power of sin, and he is utterly unable, without the interposition of sovereign grace, to do anything that is truly good and acceptable in God's sight." Jesus told Nicodemus that the light had come into the world, but men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. As Pastor said a few weeks ago, we need a hero. Fortunately, we have a hero and a savior. Jesus later explained to his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. Therefore, through Jesus Christ's sacrifice and his choosing, he enables us to show this otherwise impossible love through serving one another, bearing fruit of the Spirit, and fulfilling the whole law by doing so." So for Paul's final exhortation in verse 16, he says to walk by the Spirit so that we do not carry out the desires of the flesh. So as a matter of application, I have 5 points to answer the question, how do we walk by the Spirit and therefore not carry out the desires of the flesh? And furthermore, so that God might produce this otherwise impossible love within us. First, we must recognize and realize our helplessness to do good apart from God's enablement. Are you self-reliant or self-centered? Or are you comfortable with God as Christ, as your Lord and focus? Second, we must ask God for his Spirit to be within us and cause us to walk according to his will. Psalm 119:35 says, "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." How often do you ask God for his Spirit and his guidance? Third, we must believe the promise that God will not allow us to have dominion, that will not allow sin to have dominion over us. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Do you allow anxiety and fear to overcome you because of your inability? Or do you rest in the sovereignty of God to provide? Fourth, we must act in accordance with the Scripture in ways we know are right. What kinds of love are evident in your life? Is it a self-centered, devouring, flesh-driven love? Or is it a serving love that comes from God? Finally, we must give thanks and glory to God for any virtue that is found within us or any good deed performed, understanding that it did not come from within ourselves. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Do you take credit for your goodness or fortunes, or do you give credit and glory to the only one that is truly worthy, Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we do not need to depend on our own strength or virtue to show love for others. If we did, we would fail as victims of our flesh. So we pray that you would continue to send your Spirit in a mighty way to allow us to show that love to each other and do your will. We look forward to the day that we will come into glory and be freed from our sin, but trust in your strength to overcome until that time. We thank you for producing that love within us and for hearing our prayers. It's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.